Hi everyone, I'm back again and it feels so good to be back 6 days after I made my first recording. I'm trying to settle in a new area, so I've had so much on my hands, sorting out things, trying to settle myself and my kids, so that's why I haven't been able to come around to finishing off the recording, the second part of the discussion that I had on my podcast the last time. So, but today I'm back here and I wanted to round off on that topic about reproach. So, like I was discussing the last time, without going too much into the details, if you want to know, you try and listen to the first part. I was talking and using the story of Joseph in the Bible to sort of establish the fact that people who go about spreading lies about you and trying to damage your reputation are actually in a way trying to cover up for themselves, but they can only look good when they find something negative to say about you. So when they say it, what do you do? How do you react? And what's the best possible action or course of action that you can take? Now, I've seen a lot of people go out there and react. I mean, the natural response, the natural initial reaction would be to quickly defend yourself. And I'll be honest with you, that's what I felt when the first time I heard this news, that this was what he was going around and telling people. I wanted to pick up my phone. I mean, and call him and just give it out. But I have mastered. So I'm someone who's very reactive. I could be proactive, but I'm also very reactive. So I've been proactive in the sense that I've protected things that I don't want to happen a certain way. I've tried to do all I could to prevent things from happening a certain way. And then something happens that disrupts the pattern that I've created or want something that I've done, I will react quickly to defend that thing. I'm a legal mind, so you'll have to forgive me for that. So I'm always, you know, I do try to react. But this time it wasn't any different. I mean, I just wanted to just call him and call the people who he had been lying to and tell them, hey, this is what, why would you do this? Like, you know, just give it out. But I've mastered the art, and this is one thing that I think everybody needs to be able to do. And that is be able to identify what your weaknesses are and take action to ensure that they don't become your weaknesses over time. So I have realized that that's one of my strengths, but it could also be one of my weaknesses. I'm very defensive, and that could be a weakness. So because of that, I have just two people who I run things by before I make a decision. There are actually three of them, but if I can get two to say, no, don't do that, that's it, I'm not doing it. The third party, in most cases, will still say the same thing. The third person, sorry. So I called this woman who is like my voice of reason. And I told her, even though part of me was telling me, just let it go, just ignore it. And what she said was so funny. Initially, when I started telling her things, she would tell me, no, don't do it. But you don't tell me no. You don't tell me don't do it. If you tell me don't do it, you have to give me a reason why I shouldn't do it. So I would argue with her. Why would I not about this and this and about that and about this? But now she's mastered the art of responding to me in a way that would get me to take action without her telling me to take action. So if I call her for something. So anyway, when I called her to say, listen to this, this is what's happened, this is what they said, da 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 da. She said to me, oh, that's sad. That's really sad. But so what do you want to do? I said, I want to sit down and write him a letter. I'm going to put everything in writing and send it to him. I'm really angry, but I'm not going to be angry in the letter that I send. I'm going to state the facts and I'm going to get him to, you know, feel the... She just laughed. And she said, well, I'll give you two illustrations. The first one, imagine that someone picks your name. you've put this beautiful placard on the table with your name on it, and this angry person comes. I mean, people are walking by and admiring the placard and saying, "Oh, this is beautiful. You decorated it really nicely. Are you so and so?" And you say, "Yeah, oh, that's really lovely. Oh, so you do this." And then this person comes out of hate and spite, picks up your name, and walks to the nearby, you know, dung where there's cow dung or horse shit or whatever, and just drops it in that place. And you see that he's done that. And then you walk down there and you say, "Oh my goodness, why would you do this? What would you do?" So you have two options: leave it or pick it up. So I'll tell you what will happen. If you pick it up, the person that dropped your name in the dung did not touch the dung. But for you to pick it out of the dung, you would have to bend down and touch the dung, which means that you would have to get close enough to smell it. You would stand up smelling like it, even though you have your name. And anyway, the placard is already ruined, so you most likely will not be able to use it any longer. So you end up dirty, solid, stinking, and stressed, and still not getting what you wanted. So, do you not think the best option is for you to just let it go? And probably find a way to get another placard, write your name even more beautiful this time, and just put it on the table and act like nothing happened. And I thought, oopsie. And then she said, "Well, I could give you another example. Imagine that you're walking in the middle of the road, and halfway through in a public place, you hear your elastic band is holding maybe your skirt or your tights or your knickers or whatever snap open, and your clothes just fall to the ground. And here you are standing naked, clothes on the floor, naked. What do you do? Would you A, run quickly and find a hiding place? Or would you bend down and get the clothes off the floor and put it on? Probably you'd have to bend down 2 times or 3 times to be able to do that. But would you do? Which one would you do?" And I just started laughing. And she said, "Well, you could decide to bend down and put your clothes back on. But do you know what would happen when you bend down? You will show your ass." And I said, "Well, yeah, thank you very much, because I got the gist. I'm not going to bother trying to defend myself." She said, "There's really no point. Just let it go. He's done what he can do. He has, you know, just let it go. And then walk on getting yourself back. Walk on creating another story. Walk on living the best life you can. The purpose of what they've done is to hurt you. Why would you let them get that satisfaction?" And I'm telling you that I couldn't even call anyone after what she told me, because I realized she was absolutely right. And that's the piece of wisdom that I'm going to pass on to you today, because I know there's someone tempted to fight back, to retaliate, to avenge, to do this, to do that, because of something bad someone has done to them. Just let it go. Just let it go. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it's painful. But just let it go. Breathe 50 times. In, out, in, out, in, out. While you're doing that, mentally pray and release yourself from the bondage that this person wanted to put you in, making it impossible for you to do anything. Imagine the person that picked up someone's beautiful name and went and walked to the dung and dropped it in there. What was the point? I mean, even if your name was bad, what was the point? Why did they do that? You have to think about that. Why do you think they took that step? Why did they go out of their way to put your name in dung? The reason is simple. They wanted to destroy you. They wanted to despite you. They wanted you to be crippled. They wanted to hold you back from the great things they could see in your future. But can they? Yes, they can, if you let them. And I'll connect that to the story of Joseph just in concluding this series. Joseph could have defended himself before Potiphar. But the Bible says that he never did, because there was no getting out of this one. There was proof. There was everything. She had him by the balls, so to speak. There was nothing he could say against his master's wife. I mean, and even him doing that would destroy her home. So he was wise enough to know, you know what? I'm going to just let it go. I'm going to just let this go. There's nothing I can do at this point to correct things. I'm just going to let it go. And he did just that. But he did that and suffered the consequences. And that's another part of it that is so painful and so difficult. Because you will suffer the consequences. You will lose friends. You will have a time when you'll be alone. You would have a time that will be difficult. You will not be able to walk proudly because this person has smeared your name or made you look bad or whatever. But hold on. Have that trust and that faith that things would always work out well for you if you do the right thing. If you are the kind of person that pray. That's helped me. Pray and ask God to give you the strength to go on. I came to the point where I did not have a single friend. Every single person he had, taken steps to go out of his way to destroy my image. That's an image that took me years to build. But that's okay. Because I know if I hold on like this, as strong as I can, for as long as I can, there will be a reward at the end of the journey. Now, if you know the story of Joseph, you know how all this ended. 2 years passed, he was in prison. But even while in prison, God showed up for Joseph. So even if you think that you're losing, and it's going to get to that point where you realize being rejected, having your name smeared, having your name destroyed, getting reproached, could be a blessing. And it was indeed a blessing for Joseph. He ended up in prison, but even while he was in prison, God was with him. So he was made even the boss at prison. It didn't matter where he went to. It does not matter where you go. It does not matter who is for you or who is against you. The real ones will not leave you. And as long as you have God on your side, you will be fine. You will be fine. Joseph got into prison. I mean, he could have been in the ground alive. God will find him there. And that's one thing wicked people like Potiphar's wife, don't understand. It does not matter. A child of grace is a child of grace. A child God loves is a child God loves. You could put them, hang them on the tree in the middle of the desert. God will find them there. God will send birds to free them, to set them free. That's the God that we serve. And eventually, God found Joseph in prison. He didn't just find him. He followed him from Potiphar's house into prison. And while he was there, he sent help his way. He maneuvered events so that it was possible for Pharaoh, for Joseph, to have influence. Just imagine that. And I'll say this to you. Don't hide because of what someone has done. Whenever you get the opportunity, show yourself. One day I will share my personal application of what happened to me and how I was able to get out of it, because I know I will get out of it. Don't hide who you are. Never, ever let anyone change who you are. They can talk and say whatever. Don't turn bitter because of that. Continue to be yourself. Continue to do good. Joseph could have said, this was how I became number one in Potiphar's house, and see what happened. Let me just, quietly sit here. No, as soon as he was thrown in prison with fetters on his feet and iron on his neck, he stood up, started to look around him. What can I do even here that will make me stand out? And that's exactly what he did. And look where he landed him, as the number two man in a foreign land, in the whole of Egypt, eventually making him become a blessing unto others. How amazing. How powerful. Now, that journey might look dark at the moment. I know because I've been there. But just hold on. Have faith. Trust and believe. Pray. Cope. Exercise. Have good friends. Make good friends. God will always send people your way. If you don't spot it, that's your problem. But if you do, if you see them, don't turn them away. Don't say, I was treated badly by some people in the past. I don't want to make any new friends now. You still have to have friends, because there's only going to be people who God will use. So find the right people. Make good friends. They don't have to be a lot. One or two will do. And be accountable. So one thing that's helped me, be accountable. Don't jump to make decisions. Talk it through. It's a course of wisdom, and it's what will make you great. And watch how God makes things work out in your favor. Now imagine what happened when Joseph became the number two man in Egypt. Who do you think came to bow down before him? Of course, Potiphar and his wife. Now what do you think went through their minds when they came before Joseph to ask him for food during the 7 years of famine? Every single time they would send help, they would send for help. Do you think Joseph turned them away? No. Do you think Potiphar and his wife felt bad? Yes, they did. They must have thought, God is surely with this boy. There's no other thing to think about. There's no other way to think about it. And that's what I pray that God gives to someone listening to this message today. That God gives you an answer without you talking in the face of your enemies. That God vindicates you and sets you on a higher pedestal and proves that when he's with someone, he is with that person. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can take it away. I hope that God does that for you. And that's what I'm... Hi everyone, I'm back again, and it feels so good to be back 6 days after I made my first recording. I'm trying to settle in a new area, so I've had so much on my hands, sorting out things, trying to settle myself and my kids, so that's why I haven't been able to come around to finishing off the recording, the second part of the discussion that I had on my podcast the last time. So, but today I'm back here, and I wanted to round off on that topic about reproach. So, like I was discussing the last time, without going too much into the details, if you want to know, you try and listen to the first part. I was talking and using the story of Joseph in the Bible to establish the fact that people who go about spreading lies about you and trying to damage your reputation, actually in a way trying to cover up for themselves, but they can only look good when they find something negative to say about you. So when they say it, what do you do? How do you react? And what's the best possible action or course of action that you can take? Now, I've seen a lot of people go out there and react. I mean, the natural response, the natural initial reaction would be to quickly defend yourself. And I'll be honest with you, that's what I felt when the first time I heard this news, that this was what he was going around and telling people. I wanted to pick up my phone. I mean, and call him and just give it out. But I have mastered. So I'm someone who's very reactive. I could be proactive, but I'm also very reactive. So I've been proactive in the sense that I've protected things that I don't I want to happen a certain way. I try to do all I could to prevent things from happening a certain way. And then something happens that disrupts the pattern that I've created or want something that I've done. I will react quickly to defend that thing. I'm a legal mind, so you have to forgive me for that. So I'm always, you know, I do try to react. But this time it wasn't any different. I mean, I just wanted to just call him and call the people who he had been lying to and tell them, hey, this is what, why would you do this? Like, you know, just give it out. But I've mastered the earth. And this is one thing that I think everybody needs to be able to do. And that is be able to identify what your weaknesses are and take action to ensure that they don't become your weaknesses over time. So I have realized that that's one of my strengths, but it could also be one of my weaknesses. I'm very defensive, and that could be a weakness. So because of that, I have just two people who I run things by before I make a decision. There are actually three of them, but if I can get two to say, no, don't do that, that's it, I'm not doing it. The other third party, in most cases, will still say the same thing. The third person, sorry. So I called this woman who is like my voice of reason. And I told her, even though part of me was telling me, just let it go, just ignore it. And what she said was so funny. Initially, when I started telling her things, she would tell me, no, don't do it. But you don't tell me no. You don't tell me don't do it. If you tell me don't do it, you have to give me a reason why I shouldn't do it. So I would argue with her, why would I not about this and this and about that and that about this? But now she's mastered the art of responding to me in a way that would get me to take action without her telling me to take action. So if I call her for something, so anyway, when I called her to say, listen to this, this is what's happened, this is what they said, da 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 da. She said to me, oh, that's sad. That's really sad. But so what do you want to do? I said, I want to sit down and write him a letter. I'm going to put everything in writing and send it to him. I'm really angry, but I'm not going to be angry in the letter that I send. I'm going to state the facts, and I'm going to get him to, you know, feel the... She just laughed. And she said, well, I'll give you two illustrations. The first one, imagine that someone picks your name. You've put this beautiful placard on the table with your name on it. And this angry person comes. I mean, people are walking by and admiring the placard and saying, oh, this is beautiful. You decorated it really nicely. Are you so-and-so? And you say, yeah, oh, that's really lovely. Oh, so you do this. And then this person comes out of hate and spite, picks up your name and walks to a nearby, you know, dung where there's cow dung or horse shit or whatever and just drops it in that place. And you see that he's done that. And then you walk down there and you say, oh my goodness, why would you do this? What would you do? So you have two options, leave it or pick it up. So I'll tell you what will happen. If you pick it up, the person that dropped your name in the dung did not touch the dung. But for you to pick it out of the dung, you would have to bend down and touch the dung, which means that you would have to get close enough to smell it. You would stand up smelling like it, even though you have your name. And anyway, the placard is already ruined, so you most likely will not be able to use it any longer. So you end up dirty, solid, stinking, and stressed, and still not getting what you wanted. So, do you not think the best option is for you to just let it go and probably find a way to get another placard, write your name even more beautiful this time, and just put it on the table and act like nothing happened? And I thought, oopsie. And then she said, well, I could give you another example. Imagine that you're walking in the middle of the road, and halfway through, in a public place, you hear your elastic band is holding maybe your skirt or your tight to your knickers or whatever, snap open, and your coat just falls to the ground. And here you are, standing naked, clothes on the floor, naked. What do you do? Would you A, run quickly and find a hiding place? Or would you bend down and get the clothes off the floor and put it on? Probably you'd have to bend down 2 times or 3 times to be able to do that. But would you do? Which one would you do? And I just started laughing. And she said, well, you could decide to bend down and put your clothes back on. But do you know what would happen when you bend down? You will show your ass. And I said, well, yeah, thank you very much, because I got the gist. I'm not going to bother trying to defend myself. She said, there's really no point. Just let it go. He's done what he can do. He has, you know, just let it go. And then work on getting yourself back. Work on creating another story. Work on living the best life you can. The purpose of what they've done is to hurt you. Why would you let them get that satisfaction? And I'm telling you that I couldn't even call anyone after what she told me, because I realized she was absolutely right. And that's the piece of wisdom that I'm going to pass on to you today, because I know there's someone tempted to fight back, to retaliate, to avenge, to do this, to do that, because of something bad someone has done to them. Just let it go. Just let it go. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it's painful. But just let it go. Breathe 50 times. In, out, in, out, in, out. While you're doing that, mentally pray and release yourself from the bondage that this person wanted to put you in, making it impossible for you to do anything. Imagine the person that picked up someone's beautiful name and went and walked to the dung and dropped it in there. What was the point? I mean, even if your name was bad, what was the point? Why did they do that? You have to think about that. Why do you think they took that step? Why did they go out of their way to put your name in dung? The reason is simple. They wanted to destroy you. They wanted to despite you. They wanted you to be crippled. They wanted to hold you back from the great things they could see in your future. But can they? Yes, they can, if you let them. And I'll connect that to the story of Joseph just in concluding this series. Joseph could have defended himself before Potiphar, but the Bible says that he never did, because there was no getting out of this one. There was proof. There was everything. She had him by the balls, so to speak. There was nothing he could say against his master's wife. I mean, and even him doing that would destroy her home. So he was wise enough to know, you know what? I'm going to just let it go. I'm going to just let this go. There's nothing I can do at this point to correct things. I'm just going to let it go. And he did just that. But he did that and suffered the consequences. And that's another part of it that is so painful and so difficult. Because you will suffer the consequences. You will lose friends. You will have a time when you'll be alone. You would have a time that will be difficult. You will not be able to walk proudly because this person has smeared your name or made you look bad or whatever. But hold on. Have that trust and that faith that things would always work out well for you if you do the right thing. If you are the kind of person that prays, pray. That's helped me. Pray. Pray and ask God to give you the strength to go on. I came to the point where I did not have a single friend. Every single person he had, you know, taken steps to go out of his way to destroy my image. That's an image that took me years to build. But that's okay. Because I know if I hold on like this as strong as I can, for as long as I can, there will be a reward at the end of the journey. Now, if you know the story of Joseph, you know how all this ended. 2 years passed, he was in prison. But even while in prison, God showed up for Joseph. So even if you think that you're losing, and it's going to get to that point where you realize being rejected, having your name smeared, having your name destroyed, getting reproached, could be a blessing. And it was indeed a blessing for Joseph. He ended up in prison, but even while he was in prison, God was with him. So he was made even the boss at prison. It didn't matter where he went to. It does not matter where you go. It does not matter who is for you or who is against you. The real ones will not leave you. And as long as you have God on your side, you will be fine. You will be fine. Joseph got into prison. I mean, he could have been in the ground alive. God will find him there. And that's one thing wicked people like Potiphar's wife, don't understand. It does not matter. A child of grace is a child of grace. A child God loves is a child God loves. You could put them, hang them on the tree in the middle of the desert. God will find them there. God will send birds to free them, to set them free. That's the God that we serve. And eventually, God found Joseph in prison. He didn't just find him. He followed him from Potiphar's house into prison. And while he was there, he sent help his way. He maneuvered events so that it was possible for Pharaoh, for Joseph, to have influence. Just imagine that. And I'll say this to you, don't hide because of what someone has done. Whenever you get the opportunity, show yourself. One day I will share my personal application of what happened to me and how I was able to get out of it, because I know I will get out of it. Don't hide who you are. Never ever let anyone change who you are. They can talk and say whatever. Don't turn bitter because of that. Continue to be yourself. Continue to do good. Joseph could have said, this was how I became number one in Potiphar's house, and see what happened. Let me just, quietly sit here. No, as soon as he was thrown in prison with fetters on his feet and iron on his neck, he stood up, started to look around him. What can I do even here that will make me stand out? And that's exactly what he did. And look where he landed him, as the number two man in a foreign land, in the whole of Egypt, eventually making him become a blessing unto others. How amazing. How powerful. Now, that journey might look dark at the moment. I know because I've been there. But just hold on. Have faith. Trust and believe. Pray. Cope. Exercise. Have good friends. Make good friends. God will always send people your way. If you don't spot it, that's your problem. But if you do, if you see them, don't turn them away. Don't say, I was treated badly by some people in the past. I don't want to make any new friends now. You still have to have friends, because there's only going to be people who God will use. So find the right people. Make good friends. They don't have to be a lot. One or two will do. And be accountable. It's one thing that's helped me. Be accountable. Don't jump to make decisions. Talk it through. It's a course of wisdom, and it's what will make you great. And watch how God makes things work out in your favor. Now imagine what happened when Joseph became the number two man in Egypt. Who do you think came to bow down before him? Of course, Potiphar and his wife. Now, what do you think went through their minds when they came before Joseph to ask him for food during the 7 years of famine? Every single time they would send help, they would send for help. Do you think Joseph turned them away? No. Do you think Potiphar and his wife felt bad? Yes, they did. They must have thought, God is surely with this boy. There's no other thing to think about. There's no other way to think about it. And that's what I pray that God gives to someone listening to this message today. That God gives you an answer without you talking in the face of your enemies. That God vindicates you and sets you on a higher pedestal and proves that when he's with someone, he is with that person. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can take it away. I hope that God does that for you. And that's what I'm